If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
A lot of people talk about getting into real estate investing. A lot of people want to do it, but most people kind of get stuck not taking action, just like, oh, I really want to do it, and then they don't do anything. And I think people don't have the right why. They don't have a strong enough reason for doing it. They don't really have the clarity of why they're doing it. It's like, oh, it sounds cool. And then when they realize it's, you know, it takes time, it's hard, they just give up.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Jens Nielsen is the principal at Open Doors Capital. He has raised several million dollars for apartment syndications and is a general partner in over 800 apartment units around the country. He has also passively invested in 14 syndications and private investments spanning over 800 apartment units, 2,000 mobile home park lots, and over 6,000 storage units, plus mortgage note funds and private money lending. He has a passion for coaching new investors and enabling their success through strategy, accountability, and personal growth. Jens, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today.
Absolutely. The pleasure's all mine. I mean, you've got a wide, you know, variety of background here. You've done a lot of things. So would just love to really hear, you know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on is, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, thank you. So I've been in IT for more than 25 years, and I just left that career, actually. So that's where I started. And I thought that's what you're supposed to do in America, right? You're supposed to get a good job, getting an education, a good job, saving your 401k, and then be happy. And that was for a long time. It was okay. And I made good money, but I really never had a meaningful way of being creative. I didn't have a meaningful way of increasing my income beyond just getting a new job and so forth. So one day, like 5 years ago, I just had this epiphany. Hey, I want to invest in real estate, just because I picked up a book, started listening to some podcasts like yours. And I was like, man, I want to do this. And suddenly it just totally changed my mindset. I remember walking my dogs that day and picking up an audio book, and it was like Bigger Pockets, How to Invest in Real Estate or something like that. I was like, man, this is what I want to do. And then I started out kind of small. I reached out to some friends that were already in the business and trying to figure out, how do I do this, right? So, and I'm kind of like, once I make a decision, I move towards it 100%, right? So I would connect with people. I would start like talking about what does this look like. And I started connecting with some brokers and other things, you know, and rather quickly, I bought a couple of small deals. I got a couple of fourplexes because I felt like, you know, that's a good place to start. I was living in Colorado at that time, and I was investing in Albuquerque, New Mexico, because that was the biggest kind of city it made sense to invest in. So that's where I started, but I wasn't really very intentional about it initially. I was like, yeah, let me buy a few properties here and see where that leads me. But then I realized, man, I want to get out early. I want to grow bigger. And that's how I started, you know, kind of connecting with people, starting getting some mentoring and just getting around the people that were doing those bigger deals so I could get in. Because I realized syndications, partnering with people, using other people's money, that would be the avenue to grow much quicker than trying to use my own capital, right? So I kind of moved in that direction early on. Well, after a couple of years, moved in that direction. That's kind of what has taken off here in the last few years. And I was actually, you know, last Friday was my last day in my W-2 job. So it's been exciting.
That is amazing. Just to get this right, you bought a few quadplexes out of the gate just to get your feet wet and kind of get it figured out, which is a great place to start. I mean, I think that's where a lot of people start. But then you went more the passive route. Did I hear that right? Where you started, you know, investing in other syndications just to kind of see how the process worked?
It kind of a combination. I realized early on I wanted to get into syndications, but I also wanted to, you know, put my money kind of where my mouth was. So let me try to invest in some passive deals in some market that I didn't otherwise feel like I could necessarily break into, like a Dallas or mostly Dallas and Fort Worth area. Just to kind of see how that worked, how, you know, what is a PPM? How do you sign all this stuff and all these things, right? And then I realized, I mean, I kind of wanted to go that route. So after I'd done a few passive investments, I connected with people that were doing it actively and actually coming in on the GP side, finding a way to add value to their team. And that's how I could kind of broke into the GP side of things myself.
Right, right. What were some lessons you learned as a passive investor?
Yeah, I think the key thing as a passive investor is invest in stuff that you understand, right? So my investments in apartments and things like that I had a knowledge about have gone pretty well. Also invested in some private notes that didn't go as well as I had hoped for because they were in single family, kind of flip expensive homes in California. And they ended up going foreclosing on those properties. And I lost a little bit of money there, but I think the lesson there was kind of understand what you're investing in. See if that persons have a track record and those types of things, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. So, that you said you started this journey maybe 5 years ago, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so you started this journey 5 years ago, and even in this kind of wild market, you know, there's still some, you know, investors and investments that aren't performing to the point where you ended up losing money.
That's right. Yeah.
Yikes. That's painful. That's painful. But I think your point there is valid. Like if you're investing in something you don't necessarily understand and or I think know the sponsor really well, you know, that just makes it more challenging. I certainly don't invest, you know, in things like that because I just don't have the bandwidth for it. So good for you. But you did go into mobile home parks, storage units, multifamily. I mean, you are across the board on a lot of different asset classes. So how did you educate yourself on those and then, you know, ultimately decide to invest in those asset classes?
Yeah. So, you know, I wanted to expand my portfolio, diversify my portfolio, right? So the apartments I knew because I owned some, the mobile home park, I actually did own a mobile home park for a while, so I kind of knew what was going on there. It was a small one, but I kind of knew what was going on, learned some lessons there. Sold it a couple of months ago and made a good profit on that. But I felt like I wanted, again, get exposure to some other markets, so I invested in some funds. They are both mobile home park funds and storage funds. And, you know, I felt like they were so similar to apartments, so I felt like, okay, I know at least enough what's going on here, and I did, you know, study that to some degree to know what was happening there. And they've done, I mean, you know, 2020 was a year that changed a lot of things, but by and large, they've done pretty well, right? So I feel that it's gone okay. And I think some of the earlier deals we invested on have actually gone full circle. I think they're supposed to close here this month or next month, right? Mm. So we're starting to see some of the capital coming back and that. So that's pretty cool to see that as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's the investor's you know, kind of ultimate goal, I think, in the end, is to get that capital back at some point. So, you know, that's always fun. When you invested in those funds, you know, what drew you to invest in a fund? I know that one of the things that a lot of our sponsors talk about is, you know, hey, should we start a fund or should we just do single entity single asset syndications? So, what for you as an investor drew you to a fund versus maybe the potential returns that, you know, in a syndication?
So I guess a little bit more diversification, right? If you invest in a single asset, you have the risk of that asset. And, you know, if it goes well, it can go really well. If it doesn't, you know, it could also go really badly. Whereas the fund, you know, you can kind of spread it out a little bit. I think it may dilute the returns a little bit because if not every property is a home run, it may dilute it. And also the ability to find a deal. I think you put a lot of pressure on, if you raise a blind fund, for example, you put a lot of pressure on that fund sponsor to find the deals and they may end up overpaying in order to deploy them to the capital. So I think that's the potential negative to it. But I wanted to get exposed on the mobile home park side and the storage side across the Sun Belt. And this was some funds that were doing deals in Florida and in all the way across Texas to Arizona and so forth. So I felt like it made sense. And, you know, so far it's been doing pretty well.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. I think your point there is right. And that's what I've commonly heard is that you know, a fund will typically dilute your returns to an extent just because, you know, it's a weighted average of all the assets within that fund. You know, if you're, while you don't have the necessarily home run potential, you also, you know, mitigate some of your risk as well. So on a risk adjusted basis, it makes sense for the right investor. What does the future look like for you? And one, I want to say it out loud. Congrats for you know, being able to hang up your cleats and walk away from the W-2. That's everybody's dream. So good job.
yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. What does the future look like for you in real estate?
Yes. I mean, you know, since this whatever Humble beginnings about 5 years ago, right, we really moved into that syndication world, right? And we've done, you know, we've done two this year. I think we'll do a third one here in the next, by the end of this month, and two or three last year. So really that's been the syndication world has kind of been the direction that we have taken on, not like a ton of deals, but just very strategically find the deals that make sense, right? So going forward, I mean, that's certainly still my passion is finding the right deals with the right partners and raise the equity for those and operate them. I mean, I'm getting much more involved in the asset management side of things, right? So that's key for me. You know, and then you're right. I mean, the dream of leaving the job is something I had 5 years ago, and it was some sort of pipe dream down the road, but now it's here and it's like, it's pretty amazing. The other thing that allowed me to do this has been around, I'm actually a coach. I'm a certified high performance coach. So I coach both people in the real estate industry and people outside. I just want to, you know, develop their personal potential. And that's been super rewarding. And so that's kind of my other side business, right? So I think the two, the real estate and the coaching, that's really what has allowed me to escape the rat race, if you will.
Right, right. No, that's fantastic. So in the past, you have basically raised capital for deals and come alongside other sponsors and brought obviously more to the table than just capital raising, because we all know you can't just do that. But you've brought more to the table than that. But now you are looking more to do your own deals or more just become more actively involved with the partners that you have?
You know, I mean, it's the size of the GP team has been shrinking, which is good, right? Because our capability has increased, right?
Right.
I mean, we did, you know, a few years ago, it may have been a larger team because not everybody was kind of like trying to, you know, their capabilities weren't so high. And in the fall, you know, we did a $10 million deal between, I think we were five of us in that one. And the one we just closed yesterday, it was just two of us on a $4 million deal, right? Two of us on the GP side. That's a nice paycheck and that's a nice monthly cash flow if you're just two of us splitting the GP side of things, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you said, I think your point there was that the smaller the GP team becomes, it typically correlates to the capabilities of that team. So that's, you know, as you've increased, what have been some of the challenges that you guys have experienced as you've grown or that you've experienced, you know, in this growth process?
Yeah. I mean, like so many other people, finding deals that make sense these days is a little bit challenging. Luckily, you know, we're in a market where my partner has a really good connection with brokers and has done a lot of deals. We're mainly in the Western Pennsylvania and then kind of Eastern Ohio, Cleveland, Erie, that market. And so he has an extremely good track record with the brokers, which help a lot. We get first look at some deals that other people don't get a chance to look at. So that's unique. I think the other challenge is, you know, raising money is some days is easier than others, right? And having continued to grow that network of investors. So it's not they tap out when you do one deal with you and you have to find these people that will do it over and over with you. That's really key, right? You know, and you know, we've had some interesting things like we bought an asset a couple of years ago. They reassessed it and increased our taxes by $100,000 a year. I'm like, whoa, that kind of killed our returns for a bit there. We're trying to go back and fight that and so forth, right? So we've learned to be very conservative around our estimation on tax increases. You know, so there's definitely some challenges there, right? And, you know, COVID clearly, you know, created some challenges. Not as bad as we thought, but also a little bit harder to maybe increase the rent at the rate we were hoping for initially.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. Your analysis on taxation there, that is interesting. I always want to be curious and just ask the assessors and the people that like, what do you think this asset does? Just spits out enormous amounts of money such that you can tax us endlessly? I mean, do you guys own a pencil? Because this doesn't make any sense. We've actually passed on. There's certain markets that we don't even look at anymore just because of the, you know, they're kind of on a witch hunt for commercial operators and commercial assets to tax. So, you know, golly, good luck on that appeal. Hopefully you guys get that number reduced.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. No, and it's like, you know, they go and they see, you know, a deal trade at a certain number of dollars. Like, oh, well, here's an opportunity to increase the school tax. And everybody, you know, needs to be paid. But also, you know, we're adding value to that community and we're bringing money in, we're improving the property. So, you know, it'll be nice to get a little bit of a break there.
Right. And at least be able to cover the mortgage payment after taxes. That's always good. What, talk to me about the capital raise side. I know you made a point there that I thought was interesting about how you don't want to get an investor that's once and done, but yet a lot of investors want to do a one-time deal, wait, see how that deal goes, maybe 2, 3, 4 years even, you know, before they see kind of how that performance was before they then reinvest. So how have you overcome that hurdle?
Yeah, I mean, so I have several investors that have invested with me several times, right? I think what they have seen is I'm very transparent in the sense that, hey, this is what's good, this is what's bad, this is where we're at. And then we've, you know, we've kept paying, like we didn't stop distributions in, well, some of our deals did, but the more core deals that we're doing now, we continue to distribute through COVID, and we've kind of met our projections. So that, you know, even if that's a 6 month or a year of that, that helps with the confidence, you know, in the deal and the confidence in the team, right? So there's that. I mean, of course, you know, we still need to continue to grow our investor base. But then also it's interesting, I've seen people that have been watching me for a few years and they suddenly, you know, after getting my newsletter for several years, they're like, oh, now we're ready to invest, right? So they've seen it and they've tracked it at a distance, right? You know, but you know, it's clearly something that you need to be always thinking about. You know, you meet new people, you connect with them, you figure out, okay, is this a potential investor? And you start grooming those relationships going forward.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point. I mean, I was speaking with someone yesterday and, you know, one, you want to groom those relationships. You don't want to review everybody though, is like, oh, there's a potential prospect to invest. But at the same time, you got to remember that what you present is of great value. And I think that's something we can commonly forget as capital raisers, that like there is what we bring to people as investment opportunities is incredibly valuable compared to what they can get, you know, through their, you know, brokerage house that's just going to sell them the same stocks everybody else can buy. So,
yeah, no, it's an opportunity, right? And I think a lot of people I work with, I say they don't want to go and ask for money. I said, you're not asking anybody for money. You're giving an opportunity they otherwise did not have, right? So you're doing them a benefit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And as long as you continue to do what you said you're going to do and your deals continue to make sense and, you know, pay out, then that's a win-win for everybody involved. So that's super cool. What was the deal you sold or closed on yesterday? What was that you guys bought yesterday?
Yeah, so we closed on a 35-unit portfolio of townhomes in, it's called Mill Creek, Pennsylvania. It's kind of western Pennsylvania, yeah. So, you know, typically a little bit smaller than we normally would do, but my partner already manages and, well, actually owns close to 1,000 units in that market. So just kind of slotted straight into his management infrastructure. So it made sense for us to do that. I love buying townhomes. I love buying bigger units right now where everybody are at home, you know, working from home. So they want to have that larger unit to be in. So that's going to be pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that, I think that's interesting too, you know, where you can pick up things that the other people overlook because you've already got the team in place. You know, 35 units might be small, you know, compared to what you normally want. But yeah. You've got your people there. That's very cool. That's very cool. So do you have anything? You said at one point you owned a mobile home park, a small mobile home park, but you've since sold that. Your storage units, is that all on a passive side or is that something that you also own actively?
Storage is all on a passive side. Yeah. The mobile home park was a little park we bought when I lived in Colorado. Me and a partner bought it. And I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say how small it was. It was only 9 units. So, but we bought it, you know, and him and I were just kind of managing it and trying to figure it out and learned what's good and what's bad about mobile home parks. They can be extremely well cash flow, but also you got to just understand what you're getting yourself into, right? And, you know, we owned it for a couple of years. We sold and I think our average, I mean, IRR is like 40% or something. So, you know, it's like, yeah, that works. And now we don't have the management headache. I'll let other people deal with the management of properties, right?
Right, right. Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with that. A win is a win. And you also get to, you know, get to learn the business on a small scale and kind of figure out if that's something you want to scale up. That is very, very cool. Jens, is there anything else that we should talk about here on the podcast as it relates to what you guys are doing and where you see yourselves going?
No, I think just, you know, your audience, just the idea of, a lot of people talk about getting into real estate investing. A lot of people want to do it, but most people kind of get stuck not taking action, just like, oh, I really want to do it. And then they don't do anything. And I think people don't have the right why. They don't have a strong enough reason for doing it. They don't really have the clarity of why they're doing it. It's like, oh, it sounds cool. And then when they realize it's, you know, it takes time, it's hard, they just give up, right? So I think getting super clear on why you want to invest in real estate, you know, especially if you want to be active. I mean, are you willing to take on the next, you know, 3 to 5 years of hard work and all that? And if you're not, maybe just invest passively. If you are ready to do the hard work, you know, get somebody to help you along the way. Don't, you know, going out and do it yourself is going to be extremely challenging, right? So I think that's kind of the key thing I like to share with anybody that's listening.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Then let's jump here into the final four. The final four questions are this. What is one piece of advice you would give to an aspiring investor?
I would be open to partnerships from day one. Partner with people. That's been my greatest success.
That's interesting. I don't hear that one very often. So that's good. That's a great point. That's a great point. When it comes to investing in yourself, what is one thing you're doing to stay on top of your game?
I every day get up at 5 a.m. and have my morning routine before anything else gets in my way. Exercise, journal, read or write or whatever that is. So invest. That's my investment every day.
Right, right. That's very good. When it comes to investing in the world, what is one thing you are doing to make the world a better place?
So we do it through, you know, going in and taking kind of rundown apartments and fixing them up and making them nicer and, you know, just moderately increase the rent. So we're not trying to gouge anybody, you know. So we're taking some pretty seriously worn out Class C properties, made them a lot nicer. So I think that's a legacy we're trying to leave.
Right. No, that's great. That's great. And there's not a lot of people that are willing to roll up their sleeves and do that. You know, there's a lot of people that are willing to buy them and just leave them as is. So if you can actually create a better home for someone, that's a job well done. Jens, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
So they can go to my, they can send me an email at Jens, J-E-N-S, at opendoors with an S, capital.com, Jens at opendoorscapital.com. And if anybody want to get on a free call, talk about investing, coaching, or whatever, they can go to opendoorscapital.com/call and they can schedule a free 20-minute call with me.
That's fantastic. Jens, thanks so much for your time today. Certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen, if you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.